Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I talk wrestling, but I'm busy playing Angry Birds.
Oh yes, you're one of those people.
Yeah, all right, let's actually talk some wrestling.
Okay.
Your topic, go.
My topic, well, first thing I thought I would hit up was the WWE Investors Conference Call. They had their annual shareholders meeting. I posted a video of the their call there, and so I watched.
You watched. Actually, maybe in relation to this, we should start off by explaining. You had mentioned earlier that they were going to something they're going to be doing the dividends, and they went through and they pulled the trigger on it.
Well, that's,
so why don't you talk about that and then talk about the conference in relation to
it. Well, that's the key point is I was about to get to before you just decided to get your fucking yap in there. So
get up, Paul.
What the fuck was that?
That's my Mr. T in your pocket. It's going to come in very handy this show, I can already tell.
All right, anyways, talk about your shit.
So, anyway, what happened is essentially previously the quarterly dividend that WWE paid was 36 cents per share, so which is quite high. So every share that you have, you got 36 cents. What we're looking at now is 12 cents. So they dropped it basically in a third. They cut
so
it. They
12
cut it
is one third of 36. Let me write that down.
Yeah, you better. I'm just explaining that mostly to you because you're a moron.
Well, there might be some people also in the southern United States listening.
Really? All right. That's We Talk Wrestling at aim.com and just put attention Mo.
I'm sorry.
Get up, Paul!
So, as I was saying. So essentially that's what's happened now.
You're the one who once said to them, fuck them.
Quit your jibber jabber.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We watched the conference call. The main highlight
sorry,
there.
Sorry, my favorite episode ever. Go ahead.
All right. The main highlight there, as you said, is the dividend going to 12 cents per share. What that's going to be doing is, as we talked about before, is that's going to be freeing up some money so they can look at some other, as they say, licensing properties. The highlights of the call, essentially, when it comes to that, were what they're looking at doing is taking some distributing different licenses. So they're not looking at, as Vince said, you know, there's no plans on getting back into the football league or getting a restaurant or bodybuilding. He said, of course, it was quite some time ago, was how he put it. And of course, I like his quote for the restaurant is that they didn't choose the restaurant. Okay, the restaurant was, when they say they didn't choose the restaurant was before they went public. So by that, I guess Vince didn't have anything to do with it because they weren't public before.
Oh, yeah. And because other than the restaurant, every other business he's ever run, successful, outside of the WWE.
Well, that was the question. And he sidetracked that by saying, you know, they're not going back into football. Basically, the question was, did you learn from your mistakes? And he's saying he gave some bullshit answer about the restaurant. He said the bodybuilding was a long time ago and they're not going back into football.
Hold on. You said they learned from their mistakes. Have you watched their booking in the last year?
I'm just telling you what he said.
Okay.
All right. I'm just relaying. Right. I didn't say that I agreed with him. I just said that the question was that he learned from mistakes. He did not actually say yes or no. He just gave those three examples.
Okay.
The plans for him, he said, were that they were going to be taking the licensing distribution channels that they've created through WWE. With the television distribution, the availability to have the live events, promotion, the overseas tours, the television products, the toys, the pay-per-views, the DVDs, all that there. They want to be able to take a different intellectual property, essentially purchase it, and use those channels to get it promoted and distributed and off the ground. That's essentially their plan. Now,
it sounds theoretically like a pretty smart business plan. I mean, what are the holes in it?
Well, I mean, we'll wait and see. I mean, the holes are just, it depends on what they buy.
Yeah.
Essentially, right? And how they push it and how they co-promote it is going to be,
like,
you know,
buying TNA?
Yes, somebody did ask about buying TNA. I wrote some loser questions here, and that's what I called them. Yeah, he was just quite the, you know, this mismanaged.
Yeah, there's always a mark there.
And Stephanie is way smarter than Dixie.
What are you talking about?
Stephanie McMahon, way smarter than Dixie Carter. That was the the quote to the guy was telling Vince, and Vince basically just said, I don't know if they were for sale. And then he kind of looked at him like,
your dog is smarter than Dixie, so well, that's not really impressive.
Oh, well, that's exactly right. So, but yeah, I don't know that the, I don't. Like but I don't know that the guy that was asking the question was. So, I mean, I guess he was because he found his way into the building. But
yeah.
It's one of those things that. So that was a question. There was a couple of marks a guy gave a fantasy booking. Idea about a guy staying undefeated for 6 months and refusing title shots and such. So,
well, it's not a bad idea. Problem is, you don't do it at a conference call, a business investment meeting.
Yeah.
It's not the right place. But,
so that was
he thought he had Vince's ear and was trying to get a job.
So, yeah, the other things were they were talking about breaking the 1 million buys. For Mania, domestically, they're going to see a 30% increase, presume, over last year. So that's good news.
Yeah.
They did talk about opening it up past just PG. And he said, you know, PG, not for, you know, not just children. But basically what it boiled down to, without him coming out and saying it on a couple questions, was that they were going to sort of go into a hybrid between the PG and, say, the Attitude Era. They weren't going to go
kind
out.
Kind of closer to what they were around 2004, 2005, you mean?
I guess so, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. You know, okay. After the Katie Vicks and the HLAs had gone by the wayside, and they just sort of focused in on, you know, not pandering to children, but not being Howard Stern.
Yeah,
shock
yeah.
jock TV kind of
yeah,
thing,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So I also wrote down a what the fuck here with Vince saying that Tough Enough was bringing in a whole different audience.
No, it's not.
I know. Right, that's what he said. Again, yeah. That's where, what the fuck.
Yeah, it's bullshit, right? It's politics is what he's playing, right? So, I mean, that's it.
That's right. Well, those McMahons are really good at politics, right?
Oh, yeah. She's currently the senator of Connecticut.
That's true. We asked her that. She is the senator of Connecticut.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm the senator of Connecticut.
One of the things sort of the non-PG when you talk about just kiddies, one of the things that that they're advertising marketing president, I forget her name, said was that there were going to be a summertime sponsorship with Keystone Light.
Beer.
So, with the beer. So,
yes,
with it was some Superstar co-promoting, and I guess that means that Stone Cold's going to be drinking some Keystone Light.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's... that would be good. A couple, and I said there were also some couple of just comments about why wrestling sucks now.
Yeah.
Which is good. So, Vince did... I thought it was interesting the last...
I don't mind Vince hearing that he thinks that some of his core fans thinks wrestling sucks now, but I don't know that he knows any way to fix it anyways. I mean, they're not trying to suck. It's not like they're going, you know what we're going to do is suck for the next 5 years, so then we can do a year where we're good and have business go up.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
No, exactly. But, I mean, they're just offering their unsolicited suggestions, basically, and the looks on Vince's face, he was being very polite about it because he was in sort of corporate mode, but he just was like, okay, next, like, get the fuck out of my conference call, you moron. Is
right,
basically
so anything else on
face.
There then?
Last thing, sort of a key point that they asked about was running the same weekend as UFC. You know, this past weekend did that. Vince did say, yes, we are trying to avoid it. He did come out and say, yes, we are trying to avoid it. And then here comes the spin. Okay. Mm-hmm. The spin is the reason that they try to avoid it is because the promotional time on the Barker channels there, the preview channels, the promotional time on that on those then is split between whether it's boxing or UFC, it becomes split because there's two events coming on the same weekend. So let's say that Friday night, they would be promoting UFC and WWE equally on that weekend, whereas on that Friday, if there was no UFC on the Saturday, it would be an all WWE-type promotion. Those spots would go. So that's where he's saying that they tried to avoid it. You know,
okay.
it's not – he didn't make any mention of the same fans. He's talking more about promotion.
And you know what? He's not completely 100% wrong.
Well, he's
with that.
Not.
I mean, it's you can't
not,
spin that
That's the not
whole
the main
way.
Problem.
It's not the main problem. But, I mean, that's not full bullshit. It's just it's highlighting a minor point of what the issue is.
Which is politics, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's politics again. But, I mean, there's something to that. As well, also, theoretically, even if there are 50% even if you had the exact same audience, so you had 100,000 people who are going to buy both shows, and they're being advertised the same amount on a weekend, and one coming up on a Saturday, another one on a Sunday, I think they're more likely to buy on a Saturday because it's first than to wait for the second show. So in that way, they are losing. And so he's got a point there, but I mean, it's not the difference between a show that's going to do, say, 100,000 and a show that's going to do, let's say, 800,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it is, you couldn't be dumber. But so I think when he says that, it kind of Some people might buy it, but I think that's a very, very small percentage of the audience and his audience and his shareholders. So I think they kind of – I think he comes across poorly on something like that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he did say something that's true, but he didn't go all the way with his truth, and that exposes him.
That's right. That's right. No, that's just it. So – but that conference call, in a nutshell, there, that was pretty much everything I kind of took away from it. So, I mean, okay, just
excellent.
Your general deal. So,
it was entertaining enough. I'm glad you watched it so I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually give you the next subject again. Go ahead.
I actually understood it as well.
Yeah, that helps.
So,
that
helps. Well, we'll go from sort of a comment. The Knight of Champions is gone.
Mm-hmm.
No longer on the pay-per-view schedule. It's just got a to be determined, essentially, on there for a name. So they've given up on a show where they've got all the champions represented. So what do you think about that? And do you think this is a trend that's going to continue?
Well, I think we should say, first off, the Survivor Series was off the books for a while and then brought back on as well.
Very true.
So, there is that, you know, I mean, Vince McMahon is certainly not known for sticking to his ideas. he comes around, turns around all the time on what he's doing. So, but it might be an idea. I don't know that it's necessarily showing that gimmicks are going away. They had Extreme Rules in, but they didn't obviously think to get rid of that right away, and that's
right.
Not successful. The next one that's coming up is just simply called Over the Limit. Couldn't be a more generic name than that.
Yeah, not sure about that one, right? You're right.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that they might just be looking at a different gimmick, going, oh, that Knight of Champions is no longer a gimmick. Because it actually worked the first couple times.
Yeah,
it was actually a successful thing, but it's, I don't know. I don't know if it means that anything's going to change in their booking philosophy and getting rid of the gimmicks, but I hope so, because these things, burning out the gimmicks unnecessarily,
mm-hmm.
Burns out the finality of a feud. So,
well, I agree, and I mean they didn't do anything smart with the gimmicks, as I mean we've talked about that. You know, was it time to have a Hell in the Cell? Probably not. You know, they didn't actually make it. They didn't build a storyline around the stipulations.
Well, you have a different one every month.
Yeah, but
and
you fucking
so
know what the fucking ones are.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Maddie. Right here, you can't build a post. If you're going to have three Hell in the Cell matches on a Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, you can't have them all be blow-offs when you have to have three more blow-offs next month table ladders, chairs, or whatever is following. Like the point is that when you're constantly doing that, you can't.
Not in their booking philosophy.
And especially when you have an owner who's constantly changing his mind on who's going to win, who's going to go over, and who's going to be the champion, and who's and this and that, right? So it's really, really difficult.
That.
Yeah. This and that, that's a game we're going to play later.
Yes, okay.
Of that.
So there
okay,
you.
But, so, we'll see. We'll see what's going on here. But, I'd like to see you go away from it. You simply have the match that you need to have when it's the proper match to build up a feud when the time is right.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That's how do it.
And that's a perfect world,
but
absolutely.
This said, as much as I do hate the gimmick matches and the gimmickry pay-per-views, and nothing's worse than bragging rights, that's the worst one of them all, right, because it means nothing. That built all this, they don't just go out and throw out a ton of gimmicks on free TV like TNA. So, I mean, as bad as they are, they could be fucking worse. So
they could be
and
worse.
When's the last time WWE had something on a pole?
Yeah, that's true. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Well, they did that pink slip on a pole with Eugene and the Captain Canada, who was Miz.
Yeah, maybe they did that.
That was maybe
know.
The last time. I can't even.
Yeah, Captain Canada was Miz. All right, so I'm going to hit the next subject. So we mentioned this before. It was a email I received. This is from Edmonton.
Today, Junior.
This is from Edmonton. I'm playing Matt Morgan. This is from Edmonton, Alberta. This is from Jericho Heroin.
Well, this will be intelligent.
Jero Heroin. Yeah, well, it's Edmonton, Alberta, if that makes any sense to you.
Perfect. Well, so
this is the person who asked us.
A lot
us,
of
though,
four-letter, three-letter words here.
Yeah,
one
well,
syllable,
yeah, I don't
syllable,
think there...
No multi-syllabic
what do you think
words.
There is no There's only one two-syllable word here. Okay. What do you think draws more, a great heel or a great baby face? Baby face, two syllables. Other than that, you're right. It is Edmonton.
Yeah.
But we're big fans of you guys. Thank you for downloading our show. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what do you think draws more, great heel? What do you think means more for business?
A great heel or a great baby face? To me, I say a great baby face draws more in the overall picture. But I think you need to have that great heel to jumpstart everything.
Well, I mean, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper.
Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Steve Austin.
Who?
Huh? Steve Austin.
He had somebody.
Vince
McMahon. So yeah, Mr. McMahon character.
I was going to say Bret Hart.
Well, you know what? To some degree, too. Yeah, and Bret Hart had Steve Austin because it started off the other way. You do have – I mean, you can't say that the baby face doesn't mean more because you look at the biggest drawing guys and you look at Steve Austin, but it wasn't just him. You know, you look at Hulk Hogan, but it wasn't just him. But the advantage they have for business, obviously.
What do you mean it wasn't just him?
Well, it wasn't just him. It was Roddy Piper. It was the rock and wrestling whole thing, the Cyndi Lauper.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, is that you need a big fucking heel like Roddy Piper to set the whole fucking thing in motion.
Yeah.
But Hulk Hogan and the one-man gang sold out on the loop.
That's true. That's true.
Okay,
well, that's
why I'm telling
say.
You, long term, the baby face makes more. That's a better draw is a
true.
Baby face.
And you
need that heel to set the bar in mode, to set Hulkamania up, to set Austin 316 rolling.
Well,
once the fucking train is rolling, you just start spitting heel after heel after heel after these guys, and the money will just keep coming in. Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock. It just, that's what happens.
And obviously they sell more merchandise too and that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's big. They sell, there's bigger, not, and I don't just mean t-shirts, I also mean things like videotapes in the era, DVDs nowadays.
Give me a heel that has drawn a hell of a lot, drawn a lot of money.
Sold out every night. Woo!
Yeah.
But no, that's true though. I mean, you had Hulk Hogan, who was a baby face, and that company was number one and doing much bigger business than the other company, which had a long-term heel in Ric Flair as their champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really – I mean, a great heel can draw, but I think a great heel draws for about a year, and then people are sick and tired of seeing him win. They want him out of there.
Well, the great heel –
because the point is you want that payoff. And whereas a great babyface can be a champion for a long time and keep on knocking down new built-up heels.
And if you don't get that – payoff, you start to lose interest.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. A babyface – if babyfaces lose to a heel, all of a sudden they become – you don't take them seriously that they ever can win. Whereas if heels lose to a babyface, that's okay because they're heels.
What the blow-off? I mean, we talked about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view before it started. You know, who should win this, Cody Rhodes or Ray?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if this blow-off, then Ray can win, and it's the babyface going over, and, you know, if the feud isn't continuing, then Ray can win, and it'll be fine. If the feud continues, then it's okay for Cody to win. Mania, Cody won, but here we are at Extreme Rules.
Because
continuing.
Extreme Rules should blow off Mania.
I mean,
I agree with you. I think both of us are saying kind of the same thing in that we don't want to dilute the importance of a heel.
Right.
But the baby face is a great baby face will always be the biggest drawing thing.
That's right, yes. But again.
But if you're a company that doesn't have that great baby face, put a heel on top and let him keep winning until that baby face – let him keep winning as a heel for a long, long time until that baby face emerges, which is something TNA could do. They could have or could have done. Put a heel on top and have him keep winning as a heel for a long – because the business is down anyways until you get that guy who's
the right
guy. That would
have been great. That would have been great. Keep a heel there. Just keep having the heel on top. Never get rid of that heel. Just have him keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. Maybe if he could – maybe break some guitars over people's heads. That would just be box office.
Well, okay. Maybe if it's not the wrong... It doesn't help if it's the wrong heel. You can't take just any asshole off the street.
No.
But, I mean, if you
he's
had
a baby to, face, though, isn't
but
he?
If you... I don't know. Samoa Joe in the era would have been the right guy, right?
Well, yes. Yes, so, that's very true.
Okay. So, all right. Let's move on. Do you want the next subject? Me, you?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, let's talk about... they're talking about heels and faces. I want to talk about... Do you think were the best heel or face turns that freshened up a character, meant the most?
Oh, wow.
You know, for business or just the character, whatever. Well, what revitalized the character?
Obviously, probably for both revitalizing the character and for business, when we talk heel turns, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan with you're right,
with the NWO.
NWO.
And turning heel, that was just, the time was there. They flirted with it a little bit, about 6 months earlier in the fall of 1995 when he was doing some really weird shit.
Yeah, that's when he first started dressing in black.
Doing some really, fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
And then getting anal raped by the Yeti. But then they moved on, and again, the New World Order, and business took off. The only time WCW was number one, Hogan revitalized his career. So that, to me, heel turn,
that's the best one ever. I'd have to agree. I mean, something like The Rock something like The Rock or Steve Austin, when you turn babyface from a heel, it was kind of that the crowd turned them. It wasn't so much. I mean, it was good for business, but it didn't really revitalize the character. The characters didn't largely change. Whereas what happened with Hulk Hogan was it changed completely.
And
sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, they completely changed the Stone Cold character when they turned him heel at WrestleMania 17,
right.
And that was the wrong move. And they tried to turn. They tried to turn Sting. They tried to turn Goldberg.
Well, neither one of them
fails. But it was the right time and the right character. I liked Hogan's heel character, and it was a chicken shit heel character, and an arrogant chicken shit heel character, and it completely played off the guy he was, and so it worked, right? But there's been other good ones.
I mean,
over
we talk about Sting and Goldberg. I mean, they didn't want to turn heel, and that was probably the WCW. I don't want. You can't make me, and so they didn't.
But it also wasn't the right thing for business.
Austin embraced the heel turn. But it still didn't work.
Because it wasn't the right thing for
business. Because it wasn't the right thing for business, exactly.
Yeah.
But, Hogan's was the right thing for business.
When The Rock came back after he did his first movie there and the crowd were hurting him, that was the right thing for business. Okay. But he was so entertaining that it didn't last long.
Yeah, well, and he didn't stay really long either, but that was when he was doing stuff with the Hurricane and
but the crowd wanted to boo him at the time.
Yeah,
because they thought he had sold out and left them and abandoned them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and Honky Tonk Man was one of my favorites ever.
Yes, yes, you know? That was one of the pole. Talk about the pole.
Yeah.
Talk about the pole, I said.
You talk about the pole.
No, I was telling you.
No, you. Hmm? What the hell? I don't remember what you're talking about. The pole. Oh, the pole. Oh, I'm thinking Fox. I'm thinking, you have me thinking about Vince Russo. I'm like, Vince Russo did
don't
not book
no
the Honky Tonk. What was that?
Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. T, but you're talking about that's right. He came out. Honky Tonk Man came out originally and was a babyface character. He came out on I believe it was Morocco had a show at the time, kind of like Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
And he came out there and talked about how you know his good friend Hulk Hogan had brought him in, and he was trying to get himself a babyface rub. He was always a heel character in the territories. He was Stampede Wrestling, the North American champion, right beforehand here locally in Calgary. Great heel character. They brought him in, thought he could be a babyface, and the crowd did not take him as a babyface, so they started a poll, and I was never sure if this was a work poll or not, but basically, I don't think it was.
I don't think it mattered.
Yeah, but basically, the poll was, do you like me or not, basically, and came across very strongly, like 97%. They hated the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And
Jesse Ventura telling him that
turned the character, and it took a character who was not at all getting a crowd reaction into one of the hottest heels they had in 1987, basically. Yeah. So,
thinking about good heel and face turns, there have been, we talk about the Macho Man turning heel with the mega powers exploding.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart going.
Bret Hart turning heel was one of the real good ones.
Mm-hmm. And that one was.
It really revitalized the character again.
Well, it did, but it was such a slow build. He, after WrestleMania 13, so 1997, we'll say April 1997, when they had to, we call it the double turn, where Austin left as the face and Hart as the heel. He came out and he bashed the United States of America, which made him a heel there and a baby face everywhere else. but the
but he was pure heel in his actions and in attacking people from behind.
Oh yeah,
and
the Hart Foundation, the gang mentality. Yeah. And but leading up to that, you know, in the February leading to Mania, they had the cage match for the world title, Brett and Taker on Raw, and he got, you know, got screwed. And he was getting frustrated. And he slammed Vince McMahon down.
Was that Sid who screwed him that night? Actually.
Sid and Austin.
Sid and Austin. Yeah. Yeah, where he lost the title. That's where he held it for one day.
Well, and that's when he was swearing, you know, frustrated. Yeah, isn't the goddamn word for it. This is bullshit. Everyone in this goddamn dressing room knows I'm the best there is.
They were dropping S-bombs on Raw for the first time.
Yeah, and they weren't bleeping them because they didn't know they were coming.
Well, that they knew it was coming. But No, it was set up. Hulk, they told Brett to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They knew it was coming, but the USA Network and TSN didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. So that's Vince Russo. Yeah. But I mean, even before that, the way he lost the title to Sean,
yeah.
And then he came back, and the character was a little different right away. He quit. He said, you don't respect me, I quit, early on, way before he turned heel. But that was kind of laying the first...
The Royal Rumble, didn't
he? Royal Rumble, yeah, it's kind of laying the first...
Screwed. But again, he got screwed out of the Royal Rumble. It's kind of ironic that his angle was that
he
was getting screwed.
And he got screwed against... after coming back, Sid. He faced Sid, his second pay-per-view match
December.
After facing...
Yeah.
Yeah, after facing Austin at Survivor Series in a hell of a match, he faced Sid. Everybody assumed he was winning the title. He didn't. And it was all
Sean
making sense.
Sean screwed him
it
there.
Was basing, it was, but it was making sense, though. It was building his frustration.
Well, that was it. It built the frustration, finally had a reason to snap. And it was a great, great laid-out story, and the execution was great. I just, again, it's ironic that the whole gimmick was that he was getting screwed. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just trying to think of... are there any other babyface or heels? What about back in the day? What about back in the 80s? I'm just trying to think. Like, Jake the Snake went back and forth... few times.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
when Undertaker turned babyface.
That was a big one. The first time Undertaker actually turned babyface with Jake Roberts in that angle. Yeah. Why don't you go over that one?
Well, that was it. Right after it was a Tuesday in Texas pay-per-view, and it was Macho Man Savage against Jake, and Jake was just being such a great heel at this point. Just shoving Miss Elizabeth, putting his hand, slapped her, I think, you know, and just the promos, you know, that he'd say, you know, yeah, I slapped her. I'd slap her again. I'd slap you, Gino. If I thought I could get what I wanted,
yep.
You know, and just I, you know what, and if I slap her around enough, maybe I'll turn her into something that even I would like.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember the stuff like and Gino and oh please, and you know, but the match was over. Macho Man, of course, victorious. We just had the baby face victorious to blow the feud off, and Jake is there with a steel chair about to whack. Elizabeth or Randy, whoever first comes through the thing
he didn't
there,
give a shit.
And it was going to be Elizabeth, and then you know, this is of course the pay per view's off the air is the gimmick, right? Because then this was part of the special report with whoever Mean Gene, and so then they go and Vince is yelling in the camera, somebody stop them! Oh my God, somebody get word to them and all this, and they come out and Jake reels back to with the chair and Undertaker's there, grabs the chair. And stops him from doing that. And so then Jake confronts him on the funeral parlor and says, okay. Whose side are you on?
And, yeah, I just want to jump in a little bit here. Because I think Undertaker being there, what, about 6 or 8 months at the time?
2 years.
So had he been there that long?
Maybe a year at this point, because he would have debuted at the Survivor Series prior.
He only had one Mania match,
Survivor Series prior, so a year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so he'd been there for 1 year. But he had actually been getting, I understand, a babyface reaction at the because he was a kid's character largely, and had already kind of been getting a babyface reaction leading into that. So the crowd did want him to turn. But please go on to the funeral parlor because this was cool.
Well, then he's just, you know, then he confronts him and he says, you know, the big line there is, you know, whose side are you on, man? And Undertaker really never talked before. Mm-hmm. Paul Bearer was there to do the talking for him, so they put the microphone up to the Undertaker, and he just goes, not yours.
Yeah.
And then Jake goes, okay, and he goes to walk away, and Undertaker goes, what? But then he grabs Undertaker's hand and slams it in the casket and seals it shut and starts beating on him and beating on him and beating on him. And Undertaker keeps getting up and getting up and getting up and is actually dragging
the
casket.
That's the thing is that his hand was stuck in the casket as a gimmick. He couldn't lift it, and every time he was about to stand up, he'd get hit with this chair hard across the back, fall down, and you're thinking he's dead. He's not getting up.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he'd start to get up, and Jake had this look like, what is it? I hit him as hard as I can with the chair, and he still keeps moving.
Yeah.
And that was selling the supernatural, unbeatable gimmick.
Yes.
And pulling this casket as he's getting the hell beat out of him completely defensively, but not stopping like a zombie.
Yeah.
And it was really got that gimmick across to me, probably better than they ever had.
Thinking about '80s turns, you know, we talk about Undertaker's babyface, right? I guess it was a '90s turn. Yeah. But one of the turns in the '80s, the heel turns, it was really good for business for a run. It was a couple of them. But the Benedict Arnold of the World Wrestling Federation, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Ah, yes.
And Hulk Hogan being, you know, just like brothers, dude. And, you know, and tag team.
Coming out of Mania 1 where Orndorff was the one pinned in the tag match.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's father, what's his name? Bob Armstrong.
Ace Cowboy Bob Orton, because Randy Orton's dad is, Randy Armstrong.
Yeah, my mistake. So Bob Orton,
then
he comes across off the top with the cast, and he gets pinned, and Piper blames him, and that turns him babyface.
Yeah.
And he and Hulk are best friends for a while, and then...
Then they turn
jealousy.
Similar to
Savage.
Well, they would do a series of interviews, you know, and they'd be teaming, and they would do the Saturday night's main events against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy, and things like that, where it was always Orndorff, and they both real American. They both used the real American theme music. Came out, and then I remember there was the one show. And and Orndorff's all like, "Where is Hulk, man? I've been trying to call him. He's not returning my calls. I don't know where he is. We got this big match, and I just, you know, can't seem to find him. Oh, jeez, I just don't know." And so Hogan's really busy doing all the Tonight shows and and the movies and the commercials and everything. The Honey Nut Cheerios commercial I remember was around that time.
Yep.
And so Orndorff's the jealousy, but eventually Hogan would show up, right?
It's not just that he's jealous though. It's a couple things that he's the one, and he did get beat up 2-on-1 when Hogan wasn't.
Yes,
there,
that's
doing
the thing. But Hogan would
so
be late and make the save a couple times.
So, and then you had Bobby Heenan kind of behind the scenes, kind of planting these seeds about how Hulk Hogan isn't really your friend and this and that.
He doesn't care about you. He only cares about himself.
Exactly. Yeah. So when the turn actually happened, where in a tag match.
It was a tag match. Was it?
I believe it was for the titles. I think it might have been against the Dream Team.
Sheik
and Volkov.
For some reason, I thought Adrian Adonis was involved.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe. You might be right. Yeah.
But anyway, it was the match and after match, and then they both raise each other's hands, or he picks them up, and then they go to start posing and stuff, and then boom, big clothesline and the pile driver.
Yeah, you're right. It must have been not the title match. I think you're right. It was Adrian Adonis because they would have won the belts then.
Yeah.
They didn't hold them. But you're right. He hits him with the pile driver. And that set off a feud. At that time, Hulk Hogan was usually working between 6 and 8 dates a month. A really light schedule, especially for world champion.
Right.
And at this period, he started working about 20 to 22 days a month for a several month period because he and Orton were on fire.
Orndorff.
What did I say? Orton now?
Orton,
Jesus Christ.
No. Yeah.
Anyways, Mr. Wonderful were on fire at
Phil
house
Davis?
Shows. No.
Oh.
We're on fire, just selling out everywhere. Huge business leading up to the massive. And it looked at the time Orndorff was set up for that Mania major match against Hulk Hogan for Mania 3. But the big one was when they had 65,000 fans in Toronto at Exhibition Stadium.
At the CNE, I was there.
Yeah, were you?
I was there,
excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. It was a great card that night.
Oh, great card. It was you also had the Ricky the Dragon against Jake the Snake with the kimono dragon.
I think that's the first
dragon.
Time I saw the Powers of Pain in the WWE was there.
Yeah, Powers of Pain. I'm trying to think of... were the Powers of Pain there? No, I don't think they were.
I thought that was the first time I saw them, but maybe I'm wrong.
But anyway, that was the culmination. That was the main event.
Yeah.
Was that, and you know, Hogan of course
that's what
going
it was called,
over,
yeah.
And the big event.
The big event.
Called,
right,
big
yeah.
event.
The big event.
And you know, and of course, this is before you know massive pay-per-views. The other thing that this did was the. The cage match.
This is turning into a memory lane show.
It almost is. The Saturday night's main event cage match.
Yeah.
Where both feet touched the floor at the same time. Yep. Remember the other side of the cage?
And they restarted the match.
They restarted the match.
And they really timed it so perfect.
Oh, well, I mean, they also did it, you know, they also actually had the match probably in, like, November.
Yeah, exactly. That time. But they just timed it perfect. It was timed. Everything came across.
Like, Jesse Ventura's analysis of, like, Hogan's knees are bent in Orndorff's art. That means Orndorff hit first or whatever it was, you know. Or the other way around, I can't remember, but it was like
back in that blue cage that I loved.
That great blue cage.
I love that blue cage. But yeah, I know that was a great, great heel turn.
Talk about for business, right? So,
well, speaking of
Andre, I mean,
yeah, Andre obviously was a great heel turn too. For one match, it didn't really draw a lot down the road. But you know, I'm going to bring up another one.
I'd give it one. I'd give it the main event.
Actually, you know, I guess next year,
and then the Mania 4 as well. Yeah,
so it lasted a while. But here's another one. I think going really old school. But kind of back as far as you and I can go, as far as because we're only so old to be around. But Zbyszko with Bruno Sammartino, that was a big turn.
Yeah, I was like four.
Yeah, well, I know, and I was like seven or something, you know, or six or seven. And,
yeah.
So I mean, but I've heard about it, and basically the gimmick was that you had
student teacher.
Yeah, student teacher, but that he always lost. It's kind of similar in some ways to the Owen Hart idea.
I thought you were going to say, like, cool.
No, the Owen Hart idea that Zbyszko was always getting beat up for by the heels that Bruno was going to be facing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was not taken seriously. He wasn't high on the card.
No. Nope.
And when he finally turned on him, he was pretty straight edge, but it was both of them were. But
Zbyszko?
Yeah. Well, at that era, apparently. I don't know. Anyways, but it really built up to a great angle where they sold out Shea Stadium and like 60,000 fans again, you know, the student teacher, because it was more than a belt. It was personal. It was betrayal, and it meant a lot. So that was a really good one, and it led to Zbyszko being a heel for a long, long time, and that's where he found his success as a character. So.
Well, that's right, yeah. And I'm trying to think of any other babyface or heel turns that?
I think that's let's leave this for now because we've talked about this for a hell of a long time.
We have.
It's something we can come back to in another day. So,
that's right.
And we'll think of some more.
Okay. But,
why don't you take the next one?
Well, next topic I just kind of want to talk about, a little sad topic, so maybe we'll leave it in the middle here and not end on it, but not begin on it. Is Scott Hall?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it. You know, why people are letting him go around and do this, but I guess he's getting to the point where it is fairly serious here that, they're waiting for him to, you know, at his bed, and friends are really, they're really on watch now.
You've seen the movie Leaving Las Vegas?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was actually about to say Nick Cage is it Fear and Loathing
himself.
In Las Vegas? Or?
No, it's Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas, yeah.
He's slowly killing himself.
Right, yeah.
Fear and Loathing was
Hunter
Johnny
S. Thompson, Depp, wasn't
it? Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Anyway, Rango. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it really is. It's sad, and I've accused the Nash in the past of being an enabler, and I won't necessarily take that back, but I certainly do feel bad for him, and he's certainly not one here. You know, it's ripping him and a lot of the other members of the clique and a lot of people who care about Scott Hall and his family apart, and it's just sad because, I mean, obviously I feel sad that I can't do anything to fix it. I don't even know the guy. So I can only imagine what it's like for those members. Apparently the members of the clique, when they sat there and it was all of them kind of hugging at Sean's thing, they all said, Nash said that they were all talking about how sad it is that Scott isn't here. And Nash said, you know, it's like a fist. It's like the clique is a like a full hand. And if you cut off a pinky, you can no longer make a fist. And then that, it is very sad. So
it really is. It's sad, and hopefully it doesn't happen. But it you know, at this point it really seems inevitable at this point. And,
yeah,
and,
that's
and that really is the, you know, the sad part is that, you know, people just waiting for it, and I really kind of twisted, but that's what people seem to be thinking, unfortunately. So
I have a question I want to bring up, and the reason I want to bring it up is because I have somebody trying to get a hold of me, but Jay, at Extreme Rules, Rey Mysterio used the mist Do you think you should continue to use the mist? And I have somebody who also wants to weigh in on that in a moment. But,
oh, do you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But I'm just going to leave him on hold for a little bit.
Okay.
Do you think he should continue to use that as part of his gimmick, or is that just too much of a heel gimmick? It was last used, I believe, by Tajiri in the WWE.
Yeah, I was going to say Tajiri, and Tajiri was did he use it as a baby face, or did he just use it as a heel?
I think he continued to, but originally he debuted it as a heel.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think he's continued doing it.
I think you use it. I think Rey Mysterio is at the point where he's going to, he's going to be what he's going to be, I guess, you know,
yeah.
and he's reached that level where, I don't think Mist is going to turn him heel.
No.
I think you have to get a lot of different, aspects going in to be able to turn Rey Mysterio heel. So
last time he was heel was kind of Filthy Animals. He'd lost his map. He was part of a group, you know, kind of a gang mentality again. I think that, and that, even they weren't heels for that long. So, I mean, he's never been, you know, Rey's not suited to be a heel. I mean, there's a lot of guys I'd like to see turn. I'd like to see Kofi Kingston turn heel. I'd like to see Daniel Bryan turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Rey's not among that category.
No, and again, when you talk about merchandise, you know, when the merchandise stops, that's maybe when you think about doing
it. It's okay to leave that Mist gimmick, you think. I guess it's okay.
I kind of like the Mist gimmick, actually.
Yeah,
and I don't think I want to see the Mist gimmick all the time. I want to see him use the Mist gimmick,
It's kind of like he did with Cody. It's the guy had been such a prick to him for so long that when he used it, you weren't angry or didn't blame him for it, right? It was like okay, Cody got what he deserved.
I'm trying to think of a similar. I guess the biggest example, and they probably won't do it anymore, but would be the concerto.
Yeah.
You know, when Edge goes to do a concerto now, it's, you know, he doesn't do it all the time. Very rarely, or I guess he won't do it anymore. But he very rarely did it. But when he did, it was like, oh, it's the concerto, and people would cheer the concerto because they knew that. You know, it was just something that he did,
yeah.
But he only used it when drastic.
The sledgehammer,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Drastic times call for drastic measures, and I think that's going to
be
where the Mist comes
up. But I have somebody here who wanted to. Somebody here was pissed off about him. I guess he doesn't like wrestlers using the Mist.
Really?
And, I'm going to get him on the line here.
Right.
Hey, now I'm going to get you to, instead of telling us who you are, I'm wondering if you can give us a little hint by singing yourself, giving us a little hint through a song.
Good night, mate. Time a kangaroo down, sport. Time a kangaroo down.
Outback Jack, motherfuckers. Outback
G'day,
Jack,
mate.
On the phone.
Mel, g'day.
Hey, Outback, how are you doing? I understand you're pissed off about that thing of the Mist. Can you explain your point?
No, I'm very pissed off of the Mist. You know, it's just one of those things that Mist said, fuck it, it's Killer Khan.
What?
Killer Khan, mate.
What about Killer Khan?
Killer Khan. He just sprayed the Mist in my face, mate, and I never wrestled again in the WWF, mate.
Oh, Mist ruined your career.
Killer Khan, the Mist, mate. The Mist, it just, you know, it just bugged me up so much, mate, that I didn't know. I never wrestled in the WWF again.
But you did wrestle. Do you still wrestle? Is there any opponents you've been taking on lately or anything? Or are you still, I mean, you have matches.
Oh, fuck, mate.
Right?
I just threw another shrimp on the Bobby back here in the Outback, and I came up against an Outback. I came up against a croc. Crocodile.
A crocodile? You wrestled a crocodile?
Wrestled a crocodile. 1, 2, 3. Still undefeated, mate.
Against, in the Outback.
In the Outback against crocodiles.
Yeah. Well, those crocodiles are dangerous.
I push over the Aborigines whenever I can, mate, and pin them 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
They're
not as dangerous as the
not,
crocs, I don't think.
The crocs are the most dangerous
thing in the jungle, right?
I out-wrestled myself a kangaroo.
Oh, yeah.
Kangaroo last week.
Oh, they're dangerous.
The thing is, you got to be smart, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking smart. Because they are sheerly stand-up fighters, mate.
Oh, yeah.
They got no ground game,
mate. If you
take
them to the ground, then you can submit them.
Ground and pound, mate. Ground and pound.
So are they more dangerous? That's the most dangerous one than the kangaroos?
I beat this fellow from the International Drainage Commission.
Yeah? Yeah.
Beat him.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Pinned
so
him.
That he was
pinned
the most
him,
dangerous guy then in the jungle. That's the most dangerous.
The International Drain. Godzilla.
What?
I beat Godzilla last week. Godzilla came out. He came to the Outback. He said, I'm Godzilla. And I understand you're Outback Jack, mate. He said that. He said, mate. I had no idea, mate.
Godzilla's in the jungle now?
He was hiding out in the Outback, but I found him, mate, and I beat him.
Yeah. Well,
1, 2, 3.
Are you working me now?
No, I shoot.
Yeah, you're shooting.
Oh, you're actually shooting.
So that was the most dangerous person then is Godzilla.
I am the one that found, that wrestled up, and that killed Osama bin Laden, mate.
That was you.
That was me.
It was in the Outback, wasn't it?
That was Outback Jack.
Oh, wonderful. In the Outback. I didn't know.
You don't read that nowhere else.
Nobody would look for him there.
You don't read that nowhere else, mate.
Yeah.
I beat a Tyrannosaurus Rex, mate.
What the fuck?
Tyrannosaurus Rex, mate.
Get out of
there. I was out there, and I was just minding my own business, and it came up, and mate, and I just wrestled him down, 1, 2, 3.
Nobody, I mean, I think.
Had a huge reach advantage,
the only other person
mate.
I ever saw beat up a Tyrannosaurus, I believe, King Kong. You and King Kong, but. You know, I mean,
I beat King Kong too.
What?
Mate, King Kong, mate.
Seriously?
King Kong, mate, was my tryout match, mate, to get into WWF.
Oh, you kicked his ass then.
I kicked his ass, mate.
Oh, nice, nice. Well,
then I got the brawl.
Anybody who doesn't think you're the toughest man alive is a fool. That's what I say.
Well, that's what I say, mate. Fuck me, you know, I'm just out and about, just doing a walkabout.
Ah, that's
right. Mind my own business, doing a walkabout, mate.
Well, you do that. You get back to business.
Thanks,
here.
Mel. Thanks, mate. Good day, eh?
Thank you very much.
Wow, Outback Jack.
I didn't know he was, apparently. I'd like to see Outback Jack versus Cain Velasquez in the UFC title.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to see.
I mean, Cain doesn't have a chance.
Well, if he's a strike, well, it depends. If he put the mask back on, maybe.
Yeah, if Cain put the mask back on, he'd have a better chance.
But that's just interesting, though, that that's been, you know, it's big in the news, obviously, this week, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, in the Outback. No wonder they couldn't find him.
Well,
they
kept saying they were saying Pakistan, but I guess
that.
It turns out.
Outback, fair come. It was, do you think Outback Jack would try and work me? Would he lie to me?
He sounded, you know what? I'm buying a bright blue Cadillac, actually, from him next week, so I assume that
hopefully everything's going to be fine.
I assume he's straight and narrow.
Yeah. All right, let's hit another subject here.
Okay.
I'm wondering,
I got a mailbag question. Can I do that?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
I have a mailbag question because I got to eat some, you know, once I was the king of Spain. But now I got to eat some humble pie.
All right, excellent.
Because we have a Trinity here. It's from Philadelphia. Trinity from Philadelphia has written in and said
Trinity.
I don't. Maybe doesn't say. Doesn't, okay. Well, it doesn't say the Trinity. No.
Oh, yeah, ECW's Trinity.
Trinity.
No.
But I know. Which time. It's from Philadelphia too. But
yeah,
no.
So who knows?
What she's busting my chops about is that it seemed that I blew you off. She says, when you had a question about the best outfits.
Usually your mom's the one who blows me, but
time
it was
dressing you up in some outfits. But, I blew you off about the outfits, and you had a question about what the best ring outfits were, and she actually wants to hear our thoughts about that and expand, because she feels that I just kind of...
You were a complete...
I just will, you know, if Trinity wants it, then I'll do it. I will, I'm going to concede, I'm going to meet halfway. You may talk about your favorite outfits, and I, on the other hand, am going to talk about my favorite ring gear, because I like women.
But they don't like you.
Not usually, no.
No. I won't even bring up what you did last night. But anyways.
Hey.
It
was a midget
let's
around.
Let's hit that. a little person.
Whatever. So let's talk about the race. So I got this email a couple of days ago, so I've been thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
And still, you know, I went with Randy Savage. We talked about the Ravishing One with Rick Rude. I liked as well. I'm just trying to go back and I'm thinking of you know, outlandish kind of the costumes that they had. The Killer Bees, you know, very much, especially when they
simple,
had
but it was cool. Right?
Mass confusion.
You know? They put on the mask
they
and
had
the
mask
they had such similar bodies that you can no longer tell them apart. And of course, they were working as faces, but because again it was kind of the same ideas that
as the Mist,
that
right?
Zero, and the Sledgehammer and such, because the heels were getting their comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't mind to see the mass confusion.
That's
put
right.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was a good one. Yeah, I agree with that.
What about Giant Gonzalez?
Yeah, so worst ones are Giant Gonzalez, Adam Bomb. That was
Adam Bomb, yes, from with the yellow contacts.
Because he had yellow contacts because he was from Three Mile Island.
From Three Mile Island.
Yeah, the goggles that were terrible.
Oh, you want to talk about another terrible one? Along with Adam Bomb comes Johnny Polo.
Ah, yes.
With
yes.
the riding crop helmet
that
he wore, the polo helmet.
Well, let's talk about Kahuna Crush.
The big man from Kona, Hawaii, Crush.
Yeah, Crush, when he turned left Demolition, and came out as a face.
He came out all right. Yeah. And with his purple and his orange.
He has purple and orange. And then he turned heel. He's funny because he had purple
and black.
Yeah. Well, silver. Purple and silver. And that looked cool.
Yeah, so purple and silver paint. He had the face
exactly.
paint, right?
But the purple and orange, it was a really bright, like, blind you orange.
It was a couple of years in the 90s past when those sorts of colors were popular.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Like, it was getting into, that was like a 91 kind of thing, and we were at 93, 94. It was behind the times, too. Yeah. So it really, really stuck out. There.
I want to say
Ultimate Warrior with the tassels.
Yeah.
You know.
How about British, bad or good, then?
It was good. It was good. Yeah, the Bulldog,
British Bulldog too. When the British Bulldog came back, he had the dreadlocks with the the red, white, and blue, and he had this gold robe kind of that he split up.
That's right, especially from the SummerSlam.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, not gold robe. Sorry, the Union Jack robe.
Yeah.
And that was a really good look.
But
I
you know
that.
What?
That was one of my favorites.
Good look. But you know what I really enjoyed, though? I liked it when he turned heel and he shaved it off and got the buzz cut. And he just, to me, he looked, the buzz cut made him look bigger.
Badass?
It made him look bigger.
Yeah, it did make him look bigger.
Know, buzz well, cuts make people look bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I just cut my hair to a buzz cut, asshole.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you look fatter, or bigger, I mean. But well, no, I thought he looked more muscular when he did that.
I looked thinner. I couldn't look fatter.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But no. Anyways, folks, please. He's an asshole.
I liked, we're talking about the other ones, the robe of the king, you know, when it's Harley Race, they have the purple robe there.
Yep.
Anyone else that, I mean, some of the luchadors, when you talk about WCW, right, Halloween and with the big horns of Psychosis, you know.
I like Kane's outfit when he first debuted.
That was cool.
That was a good one when he first debuted there. And the worst ones, I think Undertaker's outfit when he first debuted was pretty awful.
It was, you know, I did.
Oh, come on, the tie and the, you know. Yeah. IRS, it was a gimmick, but it was stupid, you know.
Did he keep the tie on, though, Undertaker, when he first
did? It was like a pull-off little tie thing.
I thought he just took off, it, he was in the ring, he didn't have the tie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What about Mr. Hughes?
Yeah. Nails, that was horrible, because it's just a yellow jumpsuit.
Ring gear. Mantar.
Well, we talked about that.
We did. Max Moon. But Max Moon.
Okay, talk about a good one. And we talked about the
Cowhead.
Yeah, Max Moon, okay.
So fuck you.
Yeah. Conan is Max Moon. But how about this one, actually? Vader, when he came out
in Japan?
I love that.
The one in Japan?
Yeah. He brought it when he first came to WCW.
He had it too.
And basically what he had was this almost demon head.
Yeah, and it smoked.
Yeah, exactly. We take it off, and it had horns, like a big horn sheep type thing.
Yeah,
it was almost a demon's
like a
head.
Devil
it was black.
Head,
and you walk it through it, and you take it off in the middle of the ring and put it down.
Yeah,
and its eyes glowed red, and it smoked, and it sounds really, really cheesy, but somehow it was cool when it happened. So that was
because Vader was this big monster that would destroy you, and so it fit the gimmick.
It fit the gimmick.
You know,
yeah.
It really it did, and I mean. Then you go on to the, you know, the White Castle of Fear and so. You know, other than that, there's been, you know, I'm trying to think of anybody that I'm really missing. That, you know, the Honky Tonk Man
spent a lot of money on his.
Yeah.
So you have to say that.
Yeah,
you know?
The Fabulous Russo brothers had some great those robes too, and ring jackets.
These jackets were cool. Yeah, and it used to be in the day. I mean, almost every team had jackets like that. I mean, the Young Stallions.
I was going to say,
and Strike Force, and they all had, you know, these things.
Matching
and,
deals. Demolition had some. I mean, Legion of Doom.
But worst outfits. I don't think we can go. God love them, and you know, anybody's a fan of this show has seen our show. Download it. Knows we love Owen, but the yellow and black kind of
the stop sign thing.
The yield sign, whatever the hell that was, that was terrible.
Road construction deal. Yeah, and they had the music to go along with it. Remember?
Yeah, exactly.
It was like it was construction worker type music. Yeah. Like they were working, you know.
And that's the other thing you could say when you look at something like Duke the Dropster Drossy's terrible outfits is a terrible gimmick.
Well, same with Teal Hopper. I mean, the thing was, but they just fit the gimmick. I mean, he's a garbage man, so he dressed up like a garbage man.
Meanwhile, you had the Road Warriors, who were so cool with their outfit and the steel spikes and the face paint.
And a hockey helmet.
Yeah. What? I don't remember a hockey helmet.
Did LOD 2000?
No, not the LOD 2000. Oh. But LOD, when they were in NWA, AWA, they were so cool because it was like this steel spikes. And then they came to the WWF and it was kid-friendly. So it was like these plastic spikes that they could sell at concession.
Yeah.
And they looked lame all of a sudden. But I did like the Demolition. When they first debuted, they had these black masks. Leather mask things that they would pull off, and when they pull off, their tongues would be out, and they'd be looking. That was cool too. I kind of like that. So.
Yeah. So,
all right. I think we've hit that enough.
Benoit had some killer tights.
You know. So did Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. But okay. So I hope Trinity, that answers the question for you.
Yeah, seriously, leave us alone now. I'm sorry. Was that out loud? I meant to just think that.
I know. It's a wonder that you even think sometimes. Okay, so I'll let you wrap up with the last.
Hold on. We got another call, and I think we should take this because this guy's calling me constantly. He's so goddamn annoying.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Is he still calling? Okay. Okay, so I'll take this, and I'll pretend you're gone because I know he just annoys the shit out of you. Hello, you're on the air?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was wondering if you're going to take the phone now. Jesus Christ, what's going on?
Disco, is that you?
That's the Disco Inferno. Who's this? Who called me?
You called me. It's Addy. Addy at We Talk Wrestling.
Who the hell is this?
I don't know. You keep calling me.
Oh, Jesus
me.
Christ. I don't know what's going on here.
You keep calling Mo.
Who?
My.
Oh, who is this? What show is this?
This is We Talk Wrestling.
What is it?
It's a We Talk Wrestling Disco.
And what do you do on this show?
We try to avoid taking phone calls from people like you.
What? Oh, Jesus Christ, I have no idea what you're talking about. Wait a second. Oh, I know this show. We Talk Wrestling. I'm a big fan of the show, Jesus Christ.
Well, can we?
Can you fucking book me?
Well, we can't book you, no.
Go then.
Okay, gotta go.
Do you have any questions for me? I have a lot of experience. Jesus Christ.
Well, I thought I would ask the one question about you and the long time rumor about you being managed by the Honky Tonk Man back in the day. Were there ever any plans in place for you to come in and do that?
Oh, Jesus Christ, I couldn't manage the Honky Tonk Man. He wasn't Italian, you know? And I couldn't go anywhere because I tried to go to WWF when they let me go. Jesus Christ. And the fucking Bruno Sammartino was already there.
So that was a problem then.
Yeah, I tried to go back to the TNA, but the TNA wouldn't let me go. They have Dominic DiNucci.
They have Dominic DiNucci, did they?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Okay, well that's.
Yes. How many Italians can you have, you know? And then I was in WCW, and they tried to make me lose to a woman. Jesus Christ.
They did do that. They did try to.
I said I couldn't do that, you know, because I'd already bet on myself.
Okay, you did. Did you? Okay, so yeah. I was okay. Well.
So they let me go, and they had to come back, you know? Well, don't let me go. I want to talk. You can't let me go.
We got to let you go.
They said, come back. I said, you're a little stupid. I said, I can't be more stupid. I'm just so fucking stupid. I don't know what's going on. What? Am I gone?
Okay, let's just do that. That was uncomfortable.
That fucking guy annoys the shit out of me. Why didn't you get rid of him earlier?
I was trying. Well, those. Thought he might have
you don't answer the phone from Disco Inferno. You don't fucking talk to him. He won't get off.
Well, yeah, no,
kind of like I do with your mom.
Right, right. Yeah. You don't get off. Oh, okay. But
all right, one last question.
Let's play
a little bit of this or that.
Let's do the this or that. I gotta get that taste of that guy out of my mouth. That's the worst caller we've ever had.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we've had some shitty ones.
We really have.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you know what? This or that basically is basically what you do is you say... basically they throw two people at you and you pick which one you like the more. An example, say, or you could use it for anything. So would you say football or hockey?
Hockey.
Okay, so there you go. And why?
Because I like hockey more than I like football.
Excellent. Good enough. So that's basically what the game is. So let's do this here. Beer Money or the Midnight Express?
Oh. The Midnight Express.
And why is that?
Just longevity. You know, they had a couple of well, I'm trying to think of the word here, a couple of additions of the Midnight Express, of course.
Jim Cornette.
Cornette, Heyman, you know, Sweet Stan, Beautiful Bobby, you know, Loverboy Dennis, you know, all these. So, but again, they had great matches. I mean, they both had great matches, but I just think that the Midnight Express is just still has that longevity and are from a time through no fault of Beer Money's where there was just more of an emphasis on tag team wrestling.
Okay, I'd agree with that. Okay, the Rockers or the Motor City Machine Guns?
Same thing with the Rockers for the same reasons.
Okay, then let's go to LOD or Edge and Christian.
Edge and Christian. Just again from the
we're talking about LOD here.
I know.
The Road Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, the Road Warriors were good, and people talk about them being the greatest tag team of all time. And, you know, and statistically they probably are. But, I mean, from my own sort of, my own perspective, I guess, I didn't say I wasn't a fan of them, but I just, they weren't the end-all, be-all to me.
Okay.
Edge and Christian entertained me more than the Legion of Doom personally.
Okay. Okay, and you know, I can't disagree with that. That's who I'd pick too, but I mean, you know. Paul Bearer or Gary Hart?
I'm going to say Gary Hart just because he had a better, I don't want to say a gimmick, but
he was just incredibly unlikable as a heel manager. The man, he was just somebody you just hated so much.
Mm-hmm.
He really got that over. So
he did. He was just an unlikable dick. And as I said, I mean Paul Bearer, I mean was good and love it, but. Again, just the funeral
it's
director.
Just kind of, at the end of the day, it's still kind of a kid's gimmick. You know,
yeah.
You know? Okay, Rick Martel or AJ Styles?
Ooh. I'm going to say AJ Styles.
Okay, I'm actually surprised on that one.
I liked Rick Martel a lot. I was a Rick Martel fan, and I enjoyed Rick the Model Martel. But, I'm entertained again in the ring by AJ. Yeah. I don't think either one of them were great promos, and I just think I can point to more AJ Styles matches that I think are great than I can with Rick Martel.
Yeah, okay, you know what, I'll say this, Rick Martel kind of got his character and had a more interesting, memorable character,
mm-hmm.
and he was a good worker, but when he got his character, because the character was so important, he didn't have to work hard anymore.
That's right.
So AJ's always worked hard, so I understand what you're saying. Okay, Rey Mysterio Jr., Ray.
Okay, not
senior. Dynamite Kid.
Oh, Dynamite Kid.
Yeah. Well, they're two of the most influential in different eras, right,
mm-hmm.
small men, both revitalized and yeah. Influential small man, probably.
I have a common friend.
Yeah. Well, they did.
Oh, that's right. The Dynamite Kid there.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, it just the matches that you watch. He's paid the price, obviously.
And he was a complete asshole.
I mean, well, they both paid the price. Well, yeah, he's a complete asshole, too. For heel promos here in Calgary, from just the hard-hitting style matches. I mean, Ray had some great fluid. And, I mean, you forget. I mean, when you think about Ray now, there's no question. But when you think about Ray back in, like, 1996 during those, like, Bash at the Beaches and that. Mm-hmm. The Howling Havoc against Eddie, was that 98? Was it? Or was it?
97,
but, I believe. 97, okay. But anyway, unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
You know, and it just, so those were great as well. But I have to give it to Dynamite just for, again, both work, both matches, both, you know, I can think probably about equal just unbelievable matches. But Dynamite gets the edge a little bit because of the promos.
Yeah.
And just being a
and just, I just, at the end of the day, I don't know if anybody was actually in many ways ever better than Dynamite. So let's go with Chris Jericho or Randy Savage.
Ah.
Supposed to make it hard.
Mm-hmm. That is hard.
Kind of like your mom. Anyways.
No. I'm trying to think of...
It's really tough.
That is tough. I'm going to have to go with Randy, the Macho Man Savage.
I would go with Jericho.
Would you?
But, I mean, you know, great both, right?
Yeah.
So why would you go with Randy?
Randy was, I think, a little more unique than Jericho.
I'll agree with that.
Was someone that, again, maybe not, he was... In a time when in-ring was the behemoth for WWE. I mean, he had the Mania 3 match, which spawned Jericho, coincidentally enough, more for Ricky Steamboat. But, you know, Savage was part of that, a big part of that. And, I mean, so we had the – Savage was kind of known as the in-ring guy back then.
Bret Hart used to say that was the best in-ring worker and the guy he had to match.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got to the top...
And he passed him.
Yeah, exactly. And he had to pass him. And then when he was at the top, he said Shawn Michaels. He was to Shawn Michaels what Randy Savage was to him.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And then it's, you know, and so... I mean, not that Jericho's not great, but I just, you know, Randy Savage... I could just sit there and listen to Randy Savage talk all day.
Yeah, and Randy Savage was so great. But I'm going to go with Jericho personally just because I think he's a little more diverse.
Mm.
But I understand. I think Savage, was his intensity was better and stuff. Just both, you know. It's supposed to be tough, right?
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Express or Hardy Boys?
Oh, wow. Ricky Morton or Jeff Hardy? I'm going to go with the Rock and Rolls for the same reason I went with the Midnights and just the regular rockers. The
Hardy Boys had a longer career than Beer Money and had better competition. And like if you're saying Edge and Christian over LOD.
Yeah, but that was for the entertainment value of the, you know, Reeking of Awesomeness 5 second pose, Soda's Rule, and the matches, right? So you had the whole deal.
You had the whole deal. Okay, no, I'm not disagreeing with
that. And the Hardy Boys, again,
when
you talk about the Hardy Boys having a long career, a lot of that, I mean, they were jobbers for 5 years.
That's true.
You know, until they turned 20.
That's true.
But then,
and then
you know,
they were high.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
on the card, folks. On the card.
Oh, I didn't. But I think that... Rock and Roll Express, again, just longevity, number of matches that they had. You know, the Hardys had theirs, no doubt, and that's hard, obviously. It's a difficult question, but I'd say Rock and Roll Express.
Okay, I got three more here. We'll wrap it up. So
okay.
I got Chris Benoit, Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah,
I went there.
Well, you didn't go there yet.
Yeah.
Ricky Steamboat never killed anybody. See, I went there.
Yeah, he did.
I would go with... I'd probably go with the Dragon.
You go with the Dragon over Benoit.
Big fan of the Dragon, actually.
I love the Dragon, but, I mean, in-ring... I think neither one of them were great promos, right? So, I mean, you're really...
No.
I think Dragon has a better character.
Yeah, well, and then... I don't know. I just... If you had to... If I had to sit back and look at it, then I would say...
Steamboat's the one you'd probably like to rather have babysit your kid.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Andre the Giant or The Undertaker?
Ooh. The Battle of the Phenoms.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you know, it's funny. They never quite crossed paths. Almost there.
Yeah, I just never did.
Yeah, no, almost, but not quite.
I'd have to say Taker. Let's just Taker.
That's
at...
That's tough.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say Taker on the basis that I saw Taker have better matches.
Yeah, but there's this. When we didn't see, I mean, we kind of were at the age where by the time we really were exposed to Andre, he was already at the end of his run.
Still a lawsuit pending on that, by the way.
Yeah. But it was kind of at the end of his run, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying Taker, and you know, so I saw Taker have better matches. It's not to say that Andre maybe didn't, or Jean Ferret have.
It was a different.
You know,
it was a different era. A different gimmick. Not matches weren't really what he was needed for. It was a different thing.
No, but it was Taker at first, and then evolved, right?
That's true.
And that's just the undefeated WrestleMania streak, the aura, the entrances, some of the things that he's done. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not
the overall
I'm
package.
Just
no,
back.
I know. Yeah. Well,
I got you. Okay, last one.
Okay.
Kurt Angle, Kurt Hennig. Battle
of
the Kurts. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, a couple of Kurts.
And two just amazing. Amazing.
One died of drugs, the other one probably will.
Or a car accident.
Yeah. Well, as long as you watch out for...
Unfortunately, in the ring, the way he's going.
Yeah, as long as you watch out for those snowbanks.
Yeah.
I would say Kurt Hennig.
You go with Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Hennig, Kurt Angle...
Your dog's snoring, by the way, as he's sleeping.
Yeah, I know.
I'm hoping people pick that up. That's not Outback Jack beating up somebody else.
Yeah, he's not slamming a gorilla or something. But I'm trying to think of... Kurt Hennig, I liked his character more than Kurt Angle's. You know, I like the intensity, integrity, intelligence. It's true. It's a true thing. But I thought that Hennig... God, and nobody beats Mr. Perfect, nobody.
Yeah.
And had the thing where he had the vignettes that were kind of campy, but he was also able to be serious. And I thought that Kurt's run, with the abstinence and the, you know what I mean? Like, he yippee-ki-yays and such. And he got to be too comedic that he never got really to be that... He never fulfilled his potential, I guess.
And really, in many ways, when he's fulfilled his potential, it's unfortunately in TNA.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Let's say this. I'm hoping Pixel heard this, and you want to email us your opinion on who we just discussed. If there's any of those where you want to weigh in, it's wetalkwrestling@aim.com, or you can Twitter to us the one you would pick in this or that. And if you do that... we'll talk about it on the air, and we'll read your opinions or your answers at some point.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Please do that.
And wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com is the website how to get all the shows. Wetalkwrestling.blogspot.com.
I'll have a couple up. A couple more. Unfortunately, we've fallen a little behind just because of our work schedules, but we'll have some more good content coming there soon.
Yeah, a couple of blogs come up. So that you can read us there. You can listen to us at the Podomatic site. It said wetalkwrestling@aim.com. Just shoot us an email. Wetalkwrestling is our Twitter handle. So, find a way. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. But it's going to end it for another...
Wait. I just want to mention before we go. So this old man sitting in his cabin in the woods. You know, he's rocking back in his rocking chair, living by himself out there. Okay. He sees this kid on the edge of his property walk by. He's got his bag. He's out to him. Hey, kid, what do you got in the bag? Kid says, duct tape. He goes, what are you doing with the duct tape? He says, I'm going to catch some ducks. Old man just laughs at him. Well, the kid walks by that night. It's around sunset. You know, got two ducks with him. So he walks by again the next morning. He's got the bag again. He goes, mm-hmm. The old man goes, what are you doing? He goes, got the duct tape. Going to catch some ducks. Old man says, what? You got lucky yesterday. You can't catch ducks with duct tape. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Kid just shrugs his shoulders, walks by that night. Five ducks with him. Next morning, he's walking by. The old man sees him. He goes, what are you doing, kid? Kid goes, going to catch the ducks. Got the duct tape. Old man goes, hold on. I want to come with you. Just let me grab some stuff. Kid goes, oh, don't worry, old man. If you want to come, I got enough duct tape for both of us. Old man says, well, that's great. But if this duct tape thing works, I'm also going to bring some pussy willow. O-U-T. You have nothing to say?
Will what?
O-U-T. Pussy willow.
Oh.
Pussy, because duct tape and pussy willow you would catch. He's an old man.
Okay.
It was funny. That's gold, man. That's gold.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Goodbye, folks.